And he's just working overtime, beating on the saints, wearing out the saints. And this is where I'm headed, amen. I trust the Lord's headed this way. The book of John, the Gospel of John, you don't have to turn there. I want to quote the verse correctly, though. The book of John was written so that people could get saved. As far as I know, the book of John was the only book written for lost people in the Bible. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. This is a spiritual book, and you have to be a spiritual person to read a spiritual book. So if you're lost, you're not going to get anything out of the Bible, except for the book of John. John chapter 20, verse 31 says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John is a book that amplifies, magnifies the deity of Christ. That all the verses I quoted this morning about the Jews being jealous of Jesus because he was God, or claimed to be God, or they knew he was God. It's in the book of John. John chapter 10, verse 28, I think it starts, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. I have given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Of course, even the first verse of the book of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so the book of John magnifies the deity of Christ, and the book of John was written so that people could get saved. I know a lot of people use the Romans Road to lead somebody to the Lord. I use John. There's so many verses. Of course, John 3:16 is the ultimate verse, but I know the verse that put Danny Mac Hall under conviction was John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." And Danny Hall was just a hillbilly that wanted to be a hippie. Amen. He was hitchhiking out. He wanted to go to Berkeley. Amen. Wanted to learn how to be a good hippie. Amen. And he was, I forgot where, one of the Oklahoma, I'm not sure where he was on his trek out here to learn how to be a hippie. And he heard a street preacher preaching John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word." And all he could remember was, "Verily, verily." That's all he remembered. He said, "I'd be sleeping under a bridge, and all I could think of was, verily, verily." And he said, "I was under conviction, and that's all I knew was, verily, verily." He said, "I cried." He said, "Verily, verily, what?" He said he came out to Berkeley, and I mean, he didn't be a good enough hippie, so he's hitchhiking back home to Tennessee. He said there was under a bridge, him and a bunch of other hippie wannabes, either going that way or that way. And he said somebody passed under the bridge and threw a bunch of stuff out of the car. It looked like books of matches. So he said, we dove for those. We thought there were books of matches. And there was a little bitty mini Bibles that had, you know, maybe eight verses in it. He said the first verse was John 5:24. Amen. Read that verse. He said, "I read that verse and read that verse and read that verse." He said, "I got home." He said, "I hadn't been home a week. I ended up in jail." Said a guy came in to preach in the jail, and he's preaching John 5:24. Amen. Oh, Danny Mac got saved. Amen. But the book of John was written so he could get saved. And I just thank the Lord for the book of John. In the front of my Bible, it has grade levels of each book of the Bible. And wouldn't you know, the book of John is the lowest grade level. The lowest grade level in the Bible is the book of John. Why? Because he wants dumb people to get saved. Amen. Amen. I mean, listen, he wants everybody to get saved. He wants everybody to get saved. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." One syllable words. Amen. I can understand that stuff. You get over three syllables and I'm lost. I'm in the dark. Amen. Thank the Lord for the book of John. the book of John was written so that we could get saved. The book of 1 John, if you look at chapter 5 and verse 13, the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, you read John, you got saved, you believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The book of 1 John was written so you could know that you're saved. And I think it's important to know that you're saved. I do not give anybody assurance of their salvation. The Bible gives assurance of salvation. When God first gave me this message, lesson, maybe I should have done it in Sunday school, I don't know. It's going to be more of a lesson than a message. But when God first gave it to me, I put it together to help people who doubted their salvation. And it seemed like every time I teach it, somebody gets saved. It works both ways. Because if when you go through these things in 1 John, and you don't fit where it says, you know, how to know if you're saved or not, then obviously you're not saved. But these things have been written that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know. I've taken soul winning classes, whatever you want to call it. I pretty well detest those things now. I down on the farm, we never taught cows and horses how to do anything. They just had calves and colts, and we didn't have to give them lessons. Amen. I don't think you have to have lessons to win somebody to the Lord, to reproduce yourself, amen, spiritually. I think it ought to be a natural thing, amen. Anyway, that's just me. That's just me, amen. I think most of it is just salesmanship, and we're not in the sales business. But I do remember when you would lead someone to the Lord, then they said, now you have to give them assurance. And to give them assurance, we'd go to 1 John 5:13. Now, is everybody open? Are you open to 1 John 5:13? Now read that verse really carefully. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. How does that verse give you assurance of salvation? It doesn't. That verse says, I've written these things that you might know. So it's the verses previous to this verse. He's written some things previous to this verse that let you know if you're saved or not. This verse in itself doesn't give you assurance of salvation. It tells you what I've just written will give you assurance of your salvation. So let's look at the things and just see, how do you know if you're saved? And I want to say this right off the bat. I've talked to people and said, well, no one can know that they're saved. John said here, I think it's in chapter 3. Turn over there, chapter 3. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. You see that? Now are we the sons of God. No one can know if they're saved or not. Apparently John knew. Well, he was an apostle. He said, now are we the sons of God. Let me say this. John not only knew that he was saved, he knew those he was writing were saved. Yes. There are people that I just know they're saved because they have fruit of being saved. There are people who say they're saved that I don't have peace that they're saved. And most people that say they're saved and I doubt they're saved, they don't doubt they're saved. You understand what I just said? I mean, they're living in sin, but they say, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I called on the Lord and I'm saved. And they're living in sin. They're living in adultery. They're shacked up. They're drinking booze. They're doing dope. They got a foul mouth. And if you ask them, you say, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved. I don't think so. Now, can a saved person sin? Oh, yeah, they can sin. But they can't enjoy it. They can't just wallow in it. Sheep don't wallow in mud. Sheep can fall in mud, but sheep don't wallow in it. Only hogs do that. Amen. So how, first off, yes, you can know you're saved. You can know you're a son of God. And really, you can know that other people are sons of God. I mean, we're going to be fooled here and there, but pretty well, you know, if something comes up to me, a little small furry animal, and it's rubbing on my leg, they always do that. And purr, it's a cat. It's a cat. You can tell me it's a dog. You can tell me it's a... You can tell me anything you want. I know it's a cat. And you say you're saved, and you're living like this, and you're living like that, and you can say you're saved all you want to. I know better. I know better. But on the other hand, the reason God gave me this message in the beginning is because there are a lot of people who have doubts. And I know they're saved. I know they're saved. I've heard people say, well, if you doubt your salvation, you're not saved. I just quote Brother Jack Wood. He said, if you've never doubted your salvation, I doubt you're saved. I never doubted my salvation until I got saved. Never. I was a church member for 10 years, and I prayed a prayer, and I got baptized and said I was saved. That whole 10 years that I prayed the prayer, got baptized, said I was saved, that whole 10 years I never once doubted I was saved. Never once. Never one time did I go through, you know, did I pray the right prayer? Was I sincere? Did I know what I was doing? Was I too young? I never thought any of that stuff. I never doubted one time that I was saved. I got saved 10 years later. Since then, I've had some problems. I've had some thoughts. I've had some question marks. Yea, hath God said. Amen. I've heard the accuser of the brethren doubt my salvation and cause me to doubt. I've heard it. How do you know if you're saved? These things have I written in you. All right, let's look at what things he wrote. Look in chapter 2. Chapter 2. Now, let me ask this before we get started. How many have ever, big time, little time, occasionally, doubted your salvation? Raise your hand. You've done. Oh, thank good. I'm in the right building. Amen. In the right building. How do you know if you're saved? It's not a feeling. Let me tell you this before we even get started. When you doubt your salvation, now not your little pointed heads if this is the same way with you. When you doubt your salvation, you go back to the experience and you think it through. Did I really know what I was doing? Did I repent of everything? Was I sincere? Was I confused? Did I grow up just because somebody else did? You know, all those things. And you examine that experience to the nth degree to make sure you did everything right. Now, these verses we're going to read, not one time does it point you back to that experience. Not one time. You can know you're saved, and you don't have to go back to whenever you made the profession. You don't have to go back there. Matter of fact, don't go back there. Just don't go back there. But Stan, I've been saved May 19th. Is that? That's already passed. May 19th was 39 years. And I give my testimony, and I tell about, you know, 18 years old when I got saved, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure I've probably added something in 39 years. I hear somebody else say something, it sounds good, so I just kind of stick that in there somewhere. Don't go back there. You don't have to go back there to know if you're saved or not. 1 John doesn't point you back there. Let's look at what it says. All right, y'all ready? Anybody interested? Amen? First of all, chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby, we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now, if you're a doubter right there, you say, well, that got me. I mean, I don't keep His commandments. No one here does not break the commandments of God. No one. When it talks about keeping commandments, it doesn't mean that you don't break one commandment. When I got saved, amen, I remained in this thing. I am trapped. So, When it says keep his commandments, I looked up the word keep in the Old Webster Dictionary. It says to value or highly regard. To value his commandments. To highly regard his commandments. I can tell you this. Before I was saved, I did not value or highly regard his commandments. As a matter of fact, most of my pleasure was derived from breaking them. Do I break commandments? Yes. But I highly regard them. I highly regard his commandments. It does bother me when I break them now. It didn't bother me before. As a matter of fact, before I would brag about breaking the commandments. I don't brag about breaking his commandments anymore. It grieves me. Now, before, I had a conscience stand, and I feel kind of bad about something, but I'd still brag about it, even if I felt kind of bad about it. It's not. I'm not talking about conscience. I'm talking about it grieves me. There's something holy inside of me. When I break the commandment, it just grieves me. I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm saved. I keep his commandments. I highly regard his commandments. I value his commandments. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Look at verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So number 2, how do you know if you're saved or not? If you keep his word. And again, you value his word. You highly regard his word. Do Christians break his word? Yes. Yes. But is it your habit to break his word as a Christian? Do you value his word? Do you highly regard his word? Here's a good test. I've heard people say this, and it just puts little red lights and bells and whistles and everything else. I don't care what the Bible says, and go ahead and fill out the rest of the blank. I don't care what the Bible says. I highly doubt you're saved. Have no reason to believe that you're saved if you don't value and highly regard his word. Now, I've broken his word since I've been saved, but I knew who was wrong.
Amen.
And listen, maybe I just hadn't gotten far enough away from God to where I would actually say, I don't care what the Bible says. As far away from God as I've ever been, I still couldn't say, I don't care what the Bible says, because I cared. I knew I was wrong, and maybe I was rebellious and didn't want to get right about it, but there was something scary about saying, I don't care what the Bible says.
Yeah.
I'm saved. I break commandments, but I highly regard his commandments. I value them. I've broken his word, but I value his word. I do care what the Bible says. No matter how I'm living, I still care about what the Bible says. And I know I'm wrong when I break his word. I know I'm wrong. I don't try to excuse, or I don't try to accuse God. And Job, the Bible says, in all this, he didn't charge God foolishly. Listen, when I break his word, I know who's wrong. I keep his word. I keep his commandments. Let's look at something else. How are we doing so far? I didn't, Brother Lance, I didn't think about it, because really, I'm not a recapper. You understand what I'm talking about? There's some preachers, they can make you doubt, you know, get you making, I'm not a recapper. Amen. And so when I taught this, my goal was to get people where they didn't want to be recapped. That they would get assurance. But it seemed like every time I teach this, somebody gets saved. I've had 3 college students get saved since I've been teaching this at college. And my goal was for them to get assurance. But guess what? If you don't keep his commandments, you ought to doubt your salvation. If you break his word, you don't highly regard his word, yeah, you ought to be thinking, you know what, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I'm not saved. Do you see that? It goes both ways. This message is either going to give you assurance or condemnation. One or the other. How are we doing so far? Do you highly regard, do you value His Word? Do you highly regard, value His commandments? Look in verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Can you deny the Son? Can you deny? Now, Peter denied the Lord. But he went out and wept bitterly. Bothered him when he did it. And when he had another chance, and they could have killed him then, he stood up and preached at Pentecost. He got the victory over that. Can you deny the Lord? Sometimes we deny Him by just keeping our mouth shut. Well, let me ask you this. When you get backed up into a corner, we testify for the Lord. I mean, so I've missed chances to hand out tracts. I've missed chances to witness when I had a chance. I've done it because of pride, because of not enough time, I thought, or what. But I've missed. But when you get backed into a corner, I was preaching in Hawaii a few years ago, and there was a visitor there in the church. I've been going there long enough, and I know who a visitor is. Amen. It's an older fellow, probably my age. Came in, and I knew he was a visitor, so I went and introduced myself. And of course, the church met in the library, so it's not just, you just don't walk in. Oh, here's church service. No, they had to be invited to be there. And I said, how'd you come to this church, come to this meeting? I was in a bar, and lady I was drinking with in the bar told me about the meeting, told me about the church. And, she used to go here. She told me I needed to come. I knew who she was. Got away from the Lord. Her and her husband separated. I don't know if they got a divorce or not, but they're separated. And she's in a bar drinking. Here's a guy across from her. And there's something holy in her. Didn't want to see him get saved. Don't ask me how Lot got in, but he got in. But when she couldn't deny the Lord. Sin, yeah, sin. But she couldn't deny the Lord. She was concerned about somebody else's soul. Don't ask me to explain it. I just know what happened. Amen. Can you deny the Lord? I got a friend who was dealing with a person at the altar, lady, and he couldn't help her. He tried everything. He couldn't help her. She just had all these doubts. And she was sick. She was sick about it. And he said, you're going through such a hard time here, ma'am. He said, if I were you, I'd just go out to some bar somewhere and get drunk and get over this. Preacher? Yeah. She said, I can't. He said, you won't or you can't? She said, I can't. I can't. There's something holy in her that it grieved her to even think about it. She doubted her salvation, but amen. She couldn't deny what was right when it came right down to it. Let me ask you a question. Do you highly regard His commandments? Do you highly regard His Word? Do you value His Word? Do you acknowledge the Son? Probably saved. Can you get around one crowd and deny the Lord and get around the other crowd and say, yeah, yeah. Some people like that. I wonder about people like that. Let's read another one here. How are we doing? We doing all right? Verse 29. And you know that He is righteous. You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Do you do righteousness? Do you do righteousness? Do you want to do right? Now, yes, sometimes I don't do right when I know I can. But do you want to? How's your... You know, the whole thing is your wanter. A lost man does not want to do right. A lost man does not want to acknowledge the Son. He wants... It's normal. It's a normal thing to deny the Son. I mean, atheist, whatever. It's normal to break His commandments. That's how you get pleasure. It's normal to break His word. You want to do righteousness. And then last of all, verse 14 of chapter 3. I think this is most indicting. One way or the other. One way or the other. Chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. We know that we pass from death into life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Now, let me ask you a question. Your language. Where's your crowd? Where's your crowd? Is this your crowd? I mean, saved people. People want to live right. People want to live holy. People want to read the Bible. People want to pray. Is that your crowd? I mean, are you trapped in church? Some people are. Some guys, you know, the woman, some women, the guy makes them. Some kids, mom and dad make them. I know kids trapped in Christian schools. I'd rather preach in jail than a Christian school. Both of them are in places they don't want to be.
Amen.
They are. But there's people in Christian schools that they can't stand it. You can tell they want to be out. As soon as they can get out, the better.
Right.
Where would you rather be? Who would you rather be with? It always bothers me when people are looking at their watch at church. I'm thinking, where do they want to go?
Wow.
Now I can see, you know, when's he going to finish the message? I can see that. You know, I get bored too. But I can't see getting the car. I mean, why don't you shut up so I can fellowship, man? We got food back there. You know, let's hang around. You know. But is there somebody out there you'd rather be with?
How about
that? That don't keep His commandments?
Yeah, come on.
That don't keep His word? That do deny the Lord? That don't do righteousness? Would you rather hang with people? Listen, the cussing, fornicating crowd, that don't make you nervous? But on the other hand, here's somebody that doubts their salvation, and you can't stand going to reunions because of their mouth and their cussing and their lifestyle. You just feel horrible. And you don't even know if you're saved or not. Yeah, you're saved. Listen, let me say this. You're weird. You're weird if you're not saved and like to hang with this crowd. You're weird. Amen. But some of you, you're trapped in here. Either because of your mom or dad, or because of your wife or husband, or because you're the pastor and they've hired you, you know. You're the evangelist, you got invited, or did I invite myself out? Anyway, who cares? I'm here. As far as I've gotten away from the Lord in my life, this has always been my crowd. I mean, I've done some things I'm ashamed of, Rocky, but this is my crowd. I can't help that. When I get away from God, preacher, if I want to fellowship with somebody, I just have to get right with God. Because there's nobody out there. There's nobody out there I want to be around. I mean, as far as away from God as I get, I can't stand the cussing. I can't stand people blaspheming God. I can't stand the fornicating crowd, the drug crowd. I can't stand that. I just have to get right with God or just not fellowship with anybody. I just don't have any friends out there. I don't want any friends out there. Well, Blake was went to Hawaii, and he wanted to stay a week later. I don't know why. He wanted to stay an extra week, so we let him stay an extra week. He got on the bus here, went in L.A., went up the Bay Area where we were, got offered drugs 3 times on the bus. I've never been offered drugs by anybody. If I went to buy drugs, it'd be from an undercover guy, you know. I don't know people that do drugs. They know better than to offer me if I do know anybody like that. Then I don't have those kind of friends. And if I got around them, I would irritate them, even if I was away from the Lord. Peter, when he got away from God, he couldn't even cuss, right? I mean, there he is cussing, and they said, your speech betrays you. What? He's trying to act like he's lost, amen? They said, he sound like a Christian cussing. But I know some. I've had Christian colleges, and I've heard them out. Basketball teams, they've come to our school, and I'm thinking, no, he didn't say that. Christian college. I know I'm saved.
Amen.
This is my crowd. Listen, you may have seen me do something through the years that really disappointed you. Stan, you might have seen me do something through, or said something that really disappointed you. Let me tell you something right now. It disappointed me more. I'm saved. I fail the Lord, but I'm saved. Because whether I break His commandments or not, I highly regard Him. I value Him. Whether I break His word or not, I highly regard His word. This is my crowd. I may deny the Lord sometimes, but when I got backed in the corner, I have to open my mouth. I'm saved. Now, there's two kinds of people in here today. There's some people here, most of you are saved, and the devil just bangs on you all the time. You can't be saved because you said that. You can't be saved because you did that. You can't be saved because you thought that. Well, what you said, thought, or did, has got nothing to do with salvation. Having the Holy Spirit inside is whether you got saved or not. Having Christ inside is whether you got saved or not. Not because of what you said, did, or thought. But number two, there's some people in here that you're not even playing a good game anymore. Man, this is not your crowd. You'd rather be somewhere else. You'd rather be with somebody else. The commandments mean nothing to you. You break them. You enjoy breaking them. You don't enjoy His word. You break His word. It doesn't bother you. You deny the Lord all the time in your actions and in your thoughts and in your words. You're not saved. You can tell me all you want to, you're saved. You're not saved. Why? Because of what the Bible just said. Don't go back to your, well, I prayed a prayer. How come you're living the way you're living then? Because something was supposed to have changed. I mean, I've heard, how many people have heard, said, well, I prayed a prayer. Catholics pray prayers all the time. Amen. Islam, they pray 5 times a day. No, don't go back there. I want to know right now, do you love the brethren? Do you keep His commandments? Do you keep His word? Highly regard. I'm not talking about you don't, yeah, we break them, but you respect His word. You highly regard. Is that true in your life? If that's true in your life, I don't care how you feel, you're saved. You understand me? I don't care how you feel. Well, I just have these feelings come over me, and I just think about hell, and I think about eternity. Let me help you with this. We have finite minds. It's hard sometimes to think about eternity. It's hard to think about hell And I mean, listen, and when you get to hell forever and ever and can't get out, that's a horrible thought. When I hear messages on hell, I mean, there's thoughts that go through my mind. Are you sure you're saved, man? Because once you go to hell, that's it. And if I trusted my feelings, I'd probably get saved again. But I have to go back to 1 John, because 1 John was written so you could know that you're saved. And when I go to 1 John, I said, well, you know, I'm scared of hell right now, and I don't understand eternity, but I highly regard His Word. And I keep His commandments. I break some, but I still highly regard, I value His commandment. And I love the brethren. This is my crowd. I mean, I might disappoint them, but this is my crowd. I can't help it. I'm saved. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Appreciate You. Lord, John here said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And Lord, it is possible to know we're saved. Highly possible to know that we're saved. And Lord,